Come on. Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Jeff Bernier. Jeff, are you ready to do this?
I am, George. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Let's do this. Jeff is a certified financial planner, a certified fund specialist, a chartered financial consultant, and the president and chief investment officer of Tandem Growth Advisors, LLC. Excited to have you on. Jeff, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why it is you do what you do.
Well, those are big questions. I have been blessed. I was fortunate enough to meet an individual who is a certified financial planner when I was a junior in college at the University of Georgia. So I'm a bulldog. And he described essentially what he did and how he did it. And I became interested in the career. And so from very early on, I knew that I wanted to get into a profession where I could be a counselor and a coach and do holistic wealth management. And so I've been applying this craft, I guess, for about 32 years now. Started April Fool's Day, 1986.
Okay, nice.
But who's counting?
Right.
And 25 of those 32 years or so, I've been married to my wife, Ashley. We have two awesome young adults, Nicholas, who is 21, who is right now touring around in Thailand.
Oh, good for him.
And a daughter, Natalie, who is 18 and about to graduate from high school and move on to the next phase of her life. So that's a little bit about me personally. I guess the thing I would say about why I do what I do, that has really changed over my career. And I guess something we might talk a little bit about in this call. But, early on, it was all about trying to look and feel and be a professional and make some money. But as I've matured over time, my why got a lot stronger and a lot more meaningful, I think. So today, we're all about helping people create the financial capacity or the freedom to go do whatever they're uniquely called to do, as they define it. And so I'm all about helping people create, freedom and the space to go do whatever they're calling.
Well, I think that is fantastic, and I can certainly identify with a lot of what you were just talking about. I know that when I got into the business, I did love the idea of wearing a suit every day. I thought that was pretty cool, and I liked the idea
right.
of being able to make money. And it took a little while for the rest of it to really click. So I appreciate that.
I remember early on, I was lucky enough to get on with a firm right out of college who was a little ahead of their time in doing financial planning in 86, because they were doing financial planning, but it was an insurance company owned broker dealer. And, financial planning was, was really a tool to place products, to implement, annuities or insurance products or, load mutual funds or limited partnerships or whatever the case may be. I was in love with the financial planning process, but the manager or the guy who was the president of our company, actually, it was just, he really was a goal setter, and he did teach me about dreaming big and setting goals. But I just remembered, I don't know if he said it or I inferred it, but to me, you got a 22-year-old kid walking around, and sort of my mantra was fake it till you make it. So I was wearing suits I couldn't afford, driving a car I couldn't afford, and telling people 30 years older than I was, who had a lot more knowledge and life experience about how to deal with their money. And so in some ways I was a chameleon. and I would just change my colors to match the audience. But fortunately, I did learn early on that if I served people well and helped enough people accomplish their goals, that ultimately I would be okay. But it did take me a little while. I was really, you know, sort of a paper mache guy there for a while, just, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid of material outward image as opposed to real substance, if you will. But that was kind of that was the early years. Thank goodness, a lot of life experience and client interactions, and spiritual growth. I've come to realize there's a lot more to it than that, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that story, and again, it's similar to my path as well. I don't think it's dissimilar to many other people who sort of just are out there living their life, and then it starts to click when they mature a little bit. And I saw on your website that you talk a lot about this idea of halftime. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
That's a really a big part of my journey in the last 10 years, especially. I spent the first, 20 years of my career or so building a high quality wealth management firm, helping people, accumulate wealth to meet their goals. I was with another firm for 17 years, started the firm that we have today, Tandem Growth Financial Advisors, in 2003. And many years ago, probably 15 years ago, I read a book called Halftime. A gentleman named Bob Buford wrote this book. He was a very successful cable television operator out in Texas. He was based out of Dallas, but he was all over the Southwest, I believe. And he wrote this really powerful book about once you reach some level of worldly success, you begin asking yourself, is this all there is? Is there more to life than just the country club and the travel and the big home? And the and so he had a bit of a crisis, and he started evaluating how to make the second half of his life more meaningful than the first half. And his tagline was how to go from success to significance in the second half. So the idea is we spend the first, really the very first part of our careers in sort of a learning quarter. So it's really a classic S curve. So you go down at the beginning because you're building education, and you're saving money, and you're buying houses, and you start going up on the S curve, and you develop expertise, and you get titles, and you get raises, and you get married, and you have children, and then you have some measure of success and get titles and go along that career path. And what happens to many of us at some point, if we just stay on that path, at some point later in life, we reach a phase of burnout. And so Bob Buford wrote this book, Halftime, to encourage mid to late career executives or successful individuals who have some measure of, quote, worldly success to go to the locker room. And before you hit burnout, go to the locker room at halftime and assess all the things you did in the first half, and take the best parts of those and redesign your second half. So strategize the second half. So halftime is really just an analogy for taking a pause before you reach this phase of burnout and think strategically about what you want your life to look like in the second half and how you want to create meaning and purpose in your life. Because again, you do start reaching that point in time where, the country clubs and the houses and the titles and the just aren't quite as meaningful as they once were. So I read that book about 15 years ago or so, and it really didn't speak to me very much. But I reread it in 2013, or really late 2012, as I was approaching 50, and it just nailed me. And I said, that's where I am. I've been blessed to have built a successful business. We're doing reasonably well. We're serving clients well. I've got a great family, and we've got all this material success. But you know, I think really there's more to life than what I'm doing. How do I use my gifts to have a more significant second half? So I actually went to Dallas and spent a couple of days at the Halftime Institute, and actually had a counselor, a coach, for 2 years to help me flesh some of these things out. And I went to Dallas, like I often do, strategically, thinking, okay, not only do I need to flesh out kind of what I want to do in the second half of my life, but maybe this is an opportunity to use what I've learned to serve, you know, to serve our clients, because many of the people that we serve are these, quote, half-timers. Mm-hmm. And what I came back with was really two important insights. And the first insight was that this business that I've been blessed to have is my platform. And so while some people decide that they want to go transition to another career or get out of the corporate world or go start a ministry or go start coaching football or whatever, I mean, your context we can talk about, because you can do this in a lot of different contexts. But I came to the conclusion that Tandem Growth, this firm, was my platform, and there's no place that I can have more impact in helping other people create the freedom and the capacity to go fulfill their calling. So that was one of the two big insights. The other one was, you know, it's not a linear process. You know, it's you know, there's some starts, there's some stops, there's some changes along the way. But I realized that I had to create margin for myself. So I had to retool the business so that I had more freedom within the enterprise, within our wealth management firm, so that I could have these deeper conversations with clients and start doing some of the things, George, that I know you do with your blog, and try to have a bigger influence by sharing this message with more people. And that was really why I started doing the blog and started doing the podcast and some of the things that I'm doing as well. So, yeah, so today our firm is really, when you think about halftime, and I know you don't want this to be a lecture. This needs to be more of a conversation. But let me just make one more point. When you think about this process of going to the locker room and evaluating how to make the second half more significant, there's really three important aspects. The first one is your core. What brings you to your knees? What are you passionate about? What are you great at doing? What do you love to do? And so you want to do an excavation project to really uncover those things, find out kind of how you're made. And there's some great tools to help you do that. But it's really about, you know, who are you? What are you passionate about? What are you uniquely gifted for? So that's the first kind of circle in this three circle Venn diagram. The second aspect is capacity. So core is about who you are and what you're about and, you know, what are you passionate about? The second circle, if you will, is all about capacity. And capacity is about creating the freedom, the financial freedom, the time, the margin to go pursue these things that are more meaningful. And so in the last 5 or 6 years, I've been really focused on Tandem Growth being a resource to help our clients create the capacity. How do we help people create the capacity? And that's really where we live day to day, and where many wealth management firms probably do, helping people create the financial margin, if you will. And the third circle in this Venn diagram, if you will, is context. Where do you apply these gifts? And what was surprising to me was that most people who go to the locker room and start doing this level of introspection often find that their context is exactly where they already are. They just do it differently. And that's really what I came to. I came to my context is this business. So my dream and what I'm passionate about and working on every day is, how do we create a firm that combines comprehensive, holistic, high quality wealth management with helping people explore these deeper issues of money and meaning. So that's really what it's about. So we are a wealth management firm. We are not counselors. We're not therapists. We do wealth management. But in my view, helping people get clarity, you know, the first thing is to get clear. The second thing is to get free. And then the third thing is to get going. And so it's really, we just want to combine these deeper conversations about getting clarity about what gives you joy and what gives you meaning and what gives you purpose. And then we can help you build the financial strategies to go create the freedom to do that.
I love it. I think that that's great. And one thing I know for sure is that how you look at everything makes all the difference. And so the lens that you're viewing the world is everything in framing. So the core values piece that really resonates with me, and I think that if everyone took a little bit of time to examine, to relook at what their core values are, if it's been a little while, or to really sit down and determine what your core values truly are and actually give it thought, that the world would be a better place. Do you find that people have, it's probably an individual thing, but do you find that people are pretty cognizant of that, or is it more you need to help them identify what they are?
Well, I think everybody has them. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we're all walking around, many of us, including me, much of the time, are walking around unconscious. I don't know where I read this, but I read somewhere that, like the Coast Guard personnel, when they arrive at a victim, the first thing they have to decide is their level of consciousness. And, you know, if they're totally unconscious, they say they're awake and alert times zero.
Okay.
And so I think a lot of us are just pulled and busy and never take the time. I mean, sitting quietly in a room is the most unnatural thing in the world. And so, you know, we're bombarded with information and data, and we're bombarded with expectations of others, including, family and people with good intentions and our culture and the community that we are, you know, we find ourselves in. And sometimes it's very difficult. And the world, you know, I mean, we live in a society where, you know, it honors wealth and it honors success and it honors, you know, these titles and trappings of success. And so it's the most natural thing in the world to want to get on that treadmill. And so I think giving people permission to just take a break and take a pause and get conscious, you know, get some awareness about what really matters. So I think we have them. I think the challenge is, we're sort of in this fast paced world where, if you're sitting idly in a room thinking about the future, you know, you're not being quote productive, mm-hmm. where in reality, it's probably the most productive thing you might ever do, because it does create an opportunity for you to get some, I call it divine wisdom, but you call it what you want, but you get some inspiration about what matters and you get some clarity on it. So, I just think we don't encourage, taking the space to actually be introspective about what truly matters. I know we've all seen and read Simon Sinek's work about Start With Why, and, you know, the TED Talk is, you know, it's a 20-minute talk on this concept of really figuring out your why. And that's all I'm saying is oftentimes we don't pause long enough to do that. And that's really what Halftime's partly about, is, you know, taking a pause so you can get some clarity and let your values and what matters most come to the surface. Stephen Covey used to always, you know, he had a workshop I went to years ago called What Matters Most. And I don't know, he had a line at some point about, what matters most should never, you know, be co-opted by what matters least. So it's really about taking that time to do it.
I love it. I think that's such good advice. And so many of the world's problems are caused by our inability to sit quietly in a room by ourselves.
Right.
It is
right.
It is a bit of a lost art. So Correct. I love it. Well, Jeff, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Yeah, well, we spent, you know, most of our time today just talking about the core, which I think is the place to start. And, you know, there are just a couple of tools that I have found to be really helpful in this regard. And so, I would encourage your listeners to consider going to Kolbe, KOLBE.com. You're probably familiar with Kolbe. I find a lot of people in the financial services industry have become aware of Kolbe profiles. And what a Kolbe profile does is it helps you uncover how you instinctively solve problems. Now, it will not talk about your intellect. It won't talk about your personality type, but it will help you identify the types of things that you do when you're at your best. So when you're evaluating that intersection of excellence and passion, I found the Kolbe to be a really helpful tool for people to get some understanding about what, you know, what their unique ability is. So if you don't do anything else, you know, your listeners might check out the Kolbe assessment to get a handle on, you know, kind of what their unique gifts are. And that's a starting point, but that would be something I would encourage your audience to check out.
Well, I'm definitely familiar with Kolbe, and that is great stuff, and that definitely gets it. Come on.
Come on.
So thank you for that.
Good.
So, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Yeah, so the easiest place is just to go to our corporate webpage, which is tandemgrowth.com. That's T-A-N-D-E-M, and then the word growth, tandemgrowth.com. So that's the main page, but if they go to /perspectives, they'll see my blog, which they can sign up for if they're interested. They can check out our podcast and just, you know, generally get an overview of our firm and how we try to combine holistic, comprehensive wealth management with this deeper discussions of money and meaning.
I love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Jeff your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to tandemgrowth.com and check out Jeff's blog and listen to the podcast. I know that it's all good stuff. So thank you again, Jeff.
Thank you so much, George. Been my pleasure.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we're all in this together. What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on.